Welcome to Arendt We Live. I've been joined today by Julien Gonter, partner at Arendt Regulatory Consulting, Christian Heinen, CEO of Arendt Services, and Stéphane Joly-Meunier, counsel at Arendt. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Jim.
Hi there.
Now, today's podcast is outsourcing. Is it a necessary evil or opportunity for growth? The question is, how do you feel about outsourcing? Whether you believe it to be an essential tool to keep costs down or a method of expanding your company know-how, the concept is now firmly established parts of almost everybody's business methodology. However, corporate strategy, regulations, process management, and best practice are changing at light speed. So how can investment funds, asset managers, banks, and service providers keep up to date with all of this change? Now, many companies have evolved towards value-added outsourcing, i.e. it's not just about finding the lowest possible labour cost in a far-off land, but it's also about choosing competence and expertise, especially in sectors heavily influenced by regulatory complexity. But now, I'm going to turn to my guests right here with me in the room. These are the experts who know, and let's ask them to get their take on the market. Now, Christian, I'm going to start with you. What sectors of the market are you working with, and in what way are they changing their approach to outsourcing?
We are servicing mostly asset managers these days, at least also new clients we are onboarding. And I think the new approach they're taking, you know, since I'm in this business, we have seen always outsourcing going in waves. So at times they outsource because of some reasons, specific needs, and then they insource again. I would say that these days we see again this wave of a push towards outsourcing. Many reasons, regulatory reasons and so on, but one that has become more prominent, more apparent in recent months and maybe even 1 or 2 years is the challenge on the labor market, especially in a Luxembourg context. So there's a push for more regulations, specific regulations in multiple areas, and it's just coping with the complexity of those regulations. And then we have clients who set up shop in Luxembourg. So historically, we often service clients that did not have a strong presence in Luxembourg. Now they have presence. But sometimes with just a few people on the ground, it's difficult to just deal with that. And we see right now, again, a push on getting help, on taking external help, outsourcing in order to deal with all the complexity.
I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I thought that one of the reasons why people do outsource is that they don't want to employ people. It sounds like they're having to employ more people in order to do this.
There's definitely, if you want to operate a business in Luxembourg these days, it's advised to have at least some form of presence, right, for clients, right? It's what you call substance. And clients have engaged in that process. And have also then had the belief that they can do then with people on board, can do a lot in-house. And that's partially true. They can do some stuff in-house, but dealing with all the complexity on different areas, be it tax, be it compliance, be it legal work, be it whatever, the IT. We will go through some of these examples later on. It's just not possible to some extent, or if you then try to do it, it goes along with a lot of risks.
Now, Julien, what about you? I know you're working with asset servicing and banks. Are their problems the same?
It's a little bit different, at least if I may, I will take one step back and speak before about the smart sourcing, because the asset managers and the asset servicers have taken different approaches, and it's linked to their core businesses. So what we have seen is that while asset managers were more trying to focus on their core activities, so they have started to outsource, the asset services have tried to build operating models that also would address the needs of their clients, which are the asset managers. And they have started building, especially for the big and the major ones, a global operating model on the follow the sun approach. And the idea was mainly to build up these global centers of excellence and keeping the expertise and the oversight here in Luxembourg. And today, that's what we see. And I would say that, well, the approach is a little bit changing in two ways, mainly by trying to bring more resilience. And that's due to the current context with COVID and with other climate risk issues and climate disaster.
Okay, so when you say climate risk, is this because the third-party country that was hosting the outsource was more subject to climate change?
If I can give some examples, you know that from an offshoring point of view, we have India, we have Malaysia, we have Philippines, who are main locations for offshoring activities. And those have been, yes, hit by disasters, especially on the flooding side, while having, so at the same time, COVID. So it was a kind of big risk and disruption on the operating model that had to be taken into account. So we have to take this major risk also into account when we are building this kind of operating model. And then I would say what is also changing this approach today for the asset services is the fact that they are taking more and more a marketplace approach. But I will discuss that about that a little bit later on.
Now, Stefan, I know that you are all about governance. It can't be easy maintaining good governance, can it?
Yeah, definitely. You're right, Jim. And generally, I think all the actors in Luxembourg, whether regulated or not regulated, do face the same challenges. And there are a lot of things which are changing now today. It's just not about costs. It's about risk management today. Because at the end of the day, what we can see is that the big players, and even the small one, they face the three key issues, and they are really three key items that needs to be addressed. They need to be to keep up with the regulation, which is increasingly more difficult, and so they need to be up to speed on that level. They need also to have in-house the right people working on their corporate governance things. And at the end of the day, they still have to deal with the disruption of life. There is COVID, there are conflicts. So there are many things that needs to be taken into account. So at the end of the day, what they really need and what they really want is to have partners which can provide them with stable solutions, which can basically address all these needs.
But Christian, I know that you're working with some regulated entities. I always thought that because they've got to fulfill all of these additional requirements, outsourcing is probably a tougher exercise for them.
They may need to do some due diligence on the party they are outsourcing to, and they have a few steps maybe to additional steps than others. On the other side, if they would outsource to also regulated entity, I think that exercise is pretty easy, right? It's straightforward, I would say.
So in actual fact, you would concur that the thought process and the planning stage is rather similar to regulated and unregulated?
There is, in the asset manager's side, especially on the requirements they have to fulfill to operate in the Luxembourg market, a convergence, right? So where maybe historically, it's especially the regulated, they were thinking to outsource and to comply with all laws, and the unregulated part said, this doesn't really apply to us. We see today that even the unregulated or semi-regulated businesses still need to operate in the spirit of laws and regulations that are de facto more applicable to the regulated area. There's a convergence, and that's also something which we see the unregulated side today also like getting up to speed. How do we need to run our business? What is expected from us? What are all the items that we need to consider, right? It's something which has, in the last 12, 24 months, that has been also a major development in the local marketplace.
Now, I know that all of you are working with different types of clients. Julian, I'm going to start with you. Can you help us pinpoint what are some of the specific challenges your clients are facing?
I think today, based on what we are seeing on the market, there are three main challenges. So the first one is clearly the operational complexity. The second one is the technical disruption. And the last one, and not the least, is the regulatory landscape. Even though for some aspects, I would say that from a regulatory standpoint, especially on the IT side, we have seen some changes that are also easing, especially the use of cloud today, to make sure that we are also being able to face this new market and this approach that will make sense and will add some scalability on the operational side. So if I come back on the operational complexity, I'd like to say that the main motto of today is still resilience. So coming back to the point that we mentioned before, we have had lots of risk and operational risk that has, have been, I would say, again on the table that were not before, from, well, again, from a climate point of view, also from a geopolitical point of view. I think when we see the recent information and news that are hitting at the moment our life, we understand that this will need to be taken into account even more on setting up an operating model. And this, this is adding definitely complexity to the management of a global operating model. And there is definitely a need to take that into account even more than before. And that's really important for us and for our clients. So from a technology point of view, I would say that what is quite interesting at the moment, and I've been following that a lot on the market because it's starting to get more mature, it's the blockchain side. So when we speak about blockchain, people are usually thinking about Bitcoin and crypto assets. Actually, blockchain is first a technology, and it's a technology that can be really a disruptor on the way we are managing today our businesses, and especially the operational side. And we have some examples on the market. We have FundsDLT, we have Tokeny. So FundsDLT is working on the TA side. It's a TA platform using blockchain. We have Tokeny building marketplace for the private assets. All that are quite interesting, but there are also challenges, especially for the legacy systems and the actors that are already in place. So they need to take that into account and to grasp these changes, because that's going to be a very important challenge, but also, I would say, an accelerator for them for the next steps.
I mean, you referred to risk earlier on. This is always to do with mindset. Do you think your clients nowadays have got a greater appetite to take the risk and outsource more?
They have an appetite to outsource more when they see that they can bring more expertise on the table and something that will be of an added value to their clients. And that's really important. And then that makes sense, definitely. And coming back to what I would say, so Stéphane and Christian have mentioned, the resource approach and the labor issues are also a big and key factor on the market today in Luxembourg. And that they need to take into account too.
That I just compliment, right? So Julia says that's, I think, the key issue today in the local marketplace is that you actually have the combination of more and longer regulations on multiple fronts paired with a shortage of qualified labor and finding labor in the marketplace. So this is the squeeze you see in the local market, and that is the challenge that our clients are facing. And that leads then to either find solutions just internally, or then who is the partner that can help me with that, with those challenges, either selectively, depending on the topic, or looking for a partner that actually has the ability to support on multiple ends.
Now, Stéphane, I'm going to bring you in here, just really practically, from a regulation perspective, what areas of regulation are really under the spotlight when we talk about outsourcing?
I think generally the regulation is more and more complex. When you look at data protection, professional secrecy, all the relationship with the regulator. So this is this is an extremely hot topic because today, in the next coming days, there will be two circulars which will be issued by the CSSF. One which will be very general regarding the outsourcing, and the scope of that one will be extremely large because this will be applicable to all regulated entities, so very large scope. And basically this circular will just replicate the recommendation of the EBA. So we know what it's going to be a little bit, but there are a lot of uncertainties still because we still need to look at the text. And there will be another circular which will go out in the next coming days, which will be much more technical about all the IT and the cloud computing. So all the things that Julien and Christian just talked about, all these things will have to be factorized into the equation, and we will need to, the clients, they will basically need to have a very good accompaniment by some good advisors, because they will have to face and implement these circulars in an efficient way.
Gosh, I'm just thinking of banks that have already outsourced lots of activities. They must be trembling, mustn't they?
Yeah, in a way. But I'm looking at Julien now, and because he's the expert, but this is really something which is a not topic for the banks. Huh?
I think that's something that they definitely have in mind. And it's true that given the complexity, because when we are speaking about outsourcing activities, of course, you are speaking also about the oversight that they need to put in place. And this complexity is clearly not completely assessed at the moment by them, but to be taken into account on the future, I would say, transformation that they will have to take in, to take and to put in place. So it's a risk that is I would say assessed at the moment, but not yet clearly defined for them to identify what they will need to do in the coming years.
But you can't implement change overnight, can you?
No, you can't. So especially when you have legacy systems and an operating model that is in place and very mature. So again, coming back to the resilience part, people are trying to be able to be more agile on this topic, and agility is coming sometimes. In two ways. So first are redefining the organization you have internally. Second, while trying to find people who can help you and partners. And that's coming back to the outsourcing side. And that's also a way to gain agility for me, definitely.
Now, Christian, I'm going to bring you in here because I think we acknowledge this is a very complex situation. From your perspective, what about a tax perspective? That must be challenging too.
I think for tax, sure. I think there are two parts of to that point. Is first tax in terms of just complying with what is locally required to file. We see the tax returns, for example, today, right? As what I said, is the shortage of qualified labor and an increased complexity in delivering what is being asked. If you see the tax form in Luxembourg that is asked by corporate income tax form has almost doubled in size within 2 or 3 years with ATAT 1, ATAT 2 being embedded. So that is already a level of complexity we see now. It's increasingly people who do tax compliance working together closely with the tax advisors as well on those matters. So that's something which we are helping our clients with. The second part is, of course, this is right now ATAT 3 has just been a draft document that came out in 22nd of December. That in itself as well, of course, you get regulations similar to DAC 6 who are quite vague, quite in draft format. They're being pushed out publicly. So then people, trying to get their head around it. But it takes then also time to how to deal with this, with these directives or these drafts, piece of legislation. And then, so there's definitely a lot going on there. But on the tax side, as I mentioned, I think it's important. It's a good example as well, and an important example on how to deal what the challenges that are actually in the marketplace.
Has it impacted the marketing or pre-marketing of funds, for example?
Yeah, that's on another side, I think. If you look into the different areas where you see developments, right? So marketing, pre-marketing on fund distribution, that has changed. We see on the tax side, we've seen on the compliance side with circulars that has actually, beefed up the needs on investor KYC, which is also a lot of more complexity you've seen before. And we're even not talking about also what everything that ESG brings on the table, right? So this is an additional one. I think what you see is that you need to collect more data. You need to collect more items. You need to make sure that you bring them in the form that is required to submit to authorities, that they are actually fit for purpose if there would be a control, for example. And this is just this collection of data, making sure that you collect them efficiently and make them available to third parties. And at the same time, we still have ESG looming around, which is something, right? And Julien mentioned about large institutions sometimes taking time to adjust, taking time to be able to transform themselves in order, but sometimes it's just also pushed either by authorities or it's pushed by the market who want to see these things happening, right? So,
sure, absolutely. So, Stefan, I was just going to come to you. On a scale of 0 to 10, how much of a game changer is all this new ESG regulation for outsourcing?
Yeah, I think in terms of ESG, I'm looking one more time at Julien because he's really the expert on that. And I think I'm going to let Julien answer that one.
Thank you. So on the ESG side, I think it's For me, on a scale of 1 to 10 in my professional life, I would put clearly an 8 or a 9, because there are several challenges. The first one is the human challenges. So we are lacking expertise on this topic. So it's really difficult to find the right experts, being able to understand the regulation and being able to understand the trends. And on the ESG side, there is a huge reputational aspect. So it's not only about making sure that the operating model is right and you can clearly process information. It's also about making sure that you do it in the right way and you communicate in the right way. And that's really important, because there is a risk. There is a clearly a risk of greenwashing, and that's a huge reputational risk for the asset managers. From an operational point of view, clearly nothing is mature yet. So we know that the data providers are not mature yet. So we have lots of different data providers. There is no one market trend at the moment. So we are like really at the very beginning of this situation. So the regulation is setting standards that are, well, I would say the actors are really having difficulties to keep up with. And that's going to be a huge operational technical, because coming back to what Christian mentioned, which is really managing the data, which are not mature yet, and making sure that you have the right people to do the work. And I think that we'll be living in very interesting times in the next 12 to 18 months.
Now, Christian, I'm just going to bring you back in here, because we're doing this podcast to try and answer this tricky question of, is outsourcing an opportunity for growth? Fundamentally, is it an essential tool, in fact, for growth?
I think yes. You can also decide to do it all in-house. But what are then the resources that you absorb internally to focus to just managing your back office, basically? And this is not the time and resources that you can devote to your own business plan. So in my eyes, it's essential.
Do you agree, Julien?
I totally agree with Christian on this topic. Just let's see, you have limited and definite resources, especially when you are going, again, putting in, again, my consulting hat. When you're speaking about projects and transformation, you have limited resources because that requires also specific expertise. You cannot put all your efforts in 20, 30 different priority number one projects. You need to decide and to choose. So the best way for you to make sure that you can work and push in parallel several topics is to find partners who are able to support you. And that's also coming at, I think, at when you try to do everything, you go at the expense of making sure that you focus on your core business, and that's something that you cannot do, especially today. So that's really important. I think people need to focus, and the way they can focus is by finding the right partner to work with them on topics where clearly there is an expertise on the market that is more relevant than what they would find internally.
That's the end of part one of Aren't We Live. Coming up in just a minute, I will be asking my guests, what do the clients really want and what do they believe the future trends will be? Stay right with us. This is Aren't We Live. This is part two. I'm here with my three guests today, Julien Ganter, Christian Heinen, and Stéphane Joly-Meunier. Now we're going to talk about it from a client perspective. What do clients really want, and how can they outsource more effectively? Now, Christian, from your perspective, what do clients really want?
I think we discussed about a lot about the complexity, that they want to have a partner who actually, you know, helps them with the complexity, helps them if there are challenges, supports them in their growth plans, and so on. But I think it's still today still a people business as well, right? They want to have a partner that has this human touch as well, that understands as well the DNA, that understands how the client works, what they want to achieve, how they communicate. And they finally want the partner they work with so that it doesn't really feel they outsource. So it becomes a sort of, they are part of us, and it becomes then a long-term relationship. So even we're talking about the complexity in data and so on, but it is still in essence still a bit cliché-ish, but still a people business, and you need to have the combination of the two.
So are you saying it's more than just a technical collaboration? It's somehow values?
It's absolutely that. Right. So it's also to have the ability and the agility to see what values the client, right? How can we actually customize our delivery approach, the way we communicate, and so on. We have, even in our teams, we have people working on communicating more often with a customer, the same people, the customer, than with our other colleagues in the organization. So they become sort of part of the client's business. And I think that still remains something that, in spite of all the evolutions, something that will remain important.
Julian, you know what? I'm afraid I don't agree with your colleague here. I thought this was all about cost and somehow delivering more for less.
No, I think I will completely concur with Christian because I have been leading several... I've been leading several RFPs for huge and global asset managers, looking at ways to outsource, especially the fund admin and TA. And I must say that we had lots of quantitative aspects, of course. So like scalability, expertise, of course, which is more qualitative, but still you can also have some quantitative KPIs on that. Efficiency and quality, and of course, the right cost to serve. Coming back to what you mentioned. But the truth is that what is always coming back, and especially when shortlisting the people you want to work with, is the DNA and the cultural fit. It's really, really important because it's still a human business. I think Christian has several times mentioned that, and I will come back on that. It's really, really a human business, and people want to feel that they are working also with a partner. So, of course, the cost aspect is taken into account, but I would say it's taken into account less than before. Because people have, via the try and learn process, understood that if there is no cultural fit, no way of really having a good gut feeling, also being able to work with someone who is working with you in really a partner-like approach, it's not working. It's not surviving. So it's not long-standing. And if you don't have a long-standing approach, you cannot build something. And that's really important.
Yeah, but Julian, could I challenge you? Because you talked about resilience earlier on. Isn't it a better situation for clients if I have 50 people working downstairs rather than 50 people working in the Philippines?
No, because of course you take a risk, which is a location risk. So all your eggs in the same nest, never a good idea. So resilience comes with, of course, multi-location, comes with technology, comes with managing your human resources, and of course also the operational model that you are putting in place. So it's not a question about having all your people around you, because today, especially when you are speaking about the COVID, you see that even around us, we are more and more working from a remote perspective. So that's not an issue. That's not impeding the way we are working. What is really important is to make sure that you have the right operating model and you have the right people around you. So that might not be here, but maybe 10,000 miles away from you. But if they are the right people, that's fine. So there are always ways to manage the resilience, and that's technology, that's operating model.
Stefan, from a governance perspective, what are your clients? What do they want?
Yeah, in terms of governance, COSEC and paralegal functions, I think what we do see is that client, they want a partner who is able to deal with volume, because they are obviously, given that there are more and more regulation and legal obligation, this automatically increases the number of documents to be produced in-house. So they want a partner who is able to deal with volume. They want a partner who also is able to deliver high-end quality documentation, because you cannot just deliver volume and not provide some quality documentation, because in terms of governance and COSEC and paralegal functions, at the end of the day, the price to pay if your corporate governance is not in good shape is too high. So you need to have a very high-end documentation ready to go. And maybe there is also one other thing that really the client do want today is to have some transparency. They want to be able to check the status of things. They want to be able to discuss with you and to have a real-time view on the way and on your processes in-house. And that's really the three keys that needs to be tackled, yeah.
Now, processes goes hand-in-hand with digitalization. From your experience of working with clients, what sort of challenges has digitalization presented to them when trying to conduct outsourcing? Christian?
I think it's we can bring on board the solution on how we can work together in a partnership. As I mentioned earlier, it's important to have that partnership. Obviously, there's a degree that our people, if we serve a client, are at first sometimes more familiar with the processes that we suggest. So, and there is a degree of change management that is needed to bring the client on board. So that's something which we today invest more time in than maybe in the past, right? So it's as also Stefan mentioned, right? It's real-time data to see if we have, for example, a large mandate and we are doing accounting, ECOSEC work for a lot of clients' entities. So we need to exchange with this client in real time. The client wants to see where is the tax return, where do we stand with that. And of course, in order to have these statuses updated, both parties need to exchange information efficiently. We need to update our systems efficiently. So it's the partnership needs also to happen in real life, in day-to-day operations on both sides. So I would say that when we set up such a relationship, it's that we invest in bringing this change management component on both sides. So how can we make this partnership happening on our day-to-day way of working together? We of course optimizing our own processes, procedure on a constant basis, but we also help a client to go that way. So we are here a solution for the client as well to digitalize his own procedures as a result as well, right? So that's actually, you know, what we see is right now this co-creation, setting up these relationships so that we then have an effective way of working together.
So on my side, so coming back on what Stefan mentioned on the governance and Christian, the digitalization, I think there is one word that comes up a lot today when discussing about the outsourcing side, it's transparency. So we used to have black boxes, meaning you were giving out a service to the cloud, to a service provider. They were producing the service, sending it back. End of the story. Black box approach. That's what I would say our clients do not want anymore. And we need to make sure that we are integrating them in our workflow. We are completely transparent in the way we are processing their data, processing their operations, and providing the products or services that we have committed on. And that's really important. And this transparency is really at the heart of the discussion that we have with our clients today. And it's really important.
So you're saying that need for transparency is actually a driver of change.
It's definitely a driver, and it's usually also, I would say, one of the main aspects of an RFP today. So one of the key discussions that we have when we are discussing with clients today is how do we integrate them into our processes so that they understand and then they feel also committed. So it's really important because that's, for me, the partnership approach, making them feel like we are part of their systems, part of their operations. And at the end of the day, we are part of the same company or not far from it.
Now, of course, none of this conversation could be happening without digitalization, could it, Christian, really?
It's completely intertwined. So it's completely linked, right? So you can only optimize procedures going into real time, into portals, into sharing data effectively, if you're not digitalized, right? So that's definitely go hand in hand. Right? I think one is fueling the other.
And I often see these amazing graphs of the rate of change of digitalization. It just seems to increase more and more each year. Do you think that implies there will be more and more outsourcing each year too?
Well, I would say it's those are, for me, two different aspects. So digitalization is impacting us internally and also on the outsourcing side. The outsourcing is more linked to, I would say, coming back to the point that you mentioned, the increasing complexity of regulation and the increasing complexity of finding the right people of labor. From a technical point of view, coming back to what I mentioned before, meaning the examples of FundsDLT and Tokeny, I think that there are some disruptors on the market which are not completely mature yet, but that will be, of course, a threat for some people having legacy systems that are almost out of date. And that might not be completely outsourcing. Maybe it's going to be more changing their way of working and operating internally. That could lead to some outsourcing, of course, but it's still not, I would say, not completely clear yet.
What is happening is also that some actors in the market not having necessarily the scale yet in order to invest into their in their own platforms, right? So it's just the larger players can invest, have scalable systems and so on. There are also players still that are then relying, they have a good business idea, but in order to run their back offices, are relying on a partner that can deliver on the know-how, but it also can deliver and bring them solutions to handle the data, to handle the accounting, the operations. So so that we see that as a trend as well. So that these sometimes players without scale, asset managers in the alternative space sometimes have that. And then they're looking for a partner with the know-how, but also somebody who can bring tech solutions on the table.
And I think coming back on what you mentioned, Christian, at the beginning, the data as a service and the software as a service approach is part of, it's concurring with what you just mentioned about the need for more digitalization, also the fact that part of it will be outsourced also from a technology point of view.
Now, you've mentioned several times about the human factor and the need for expertise. Will that be the ultimate factor which decides which countries will become successful at receiving the work? Because I can't imagine that the Philippines or India is actually full of really smart compliance officers, so we're not going to outsource that work there, are we?
No, I think this is just for sometimes larger enterprises who want to have a second hub or third hub to get access to labor, right? So, but I think it's also regulated on what you can transfer as work to those jurisdictions. You cannot just, for example, compliance is a very touchy thing to transfer this out to a third party country. There is still in Luxembourg a strong function here. I think it's these shared service centers, if I may call them like that, they are important as well, but there's still a lot that can be done on making people in Luxembourg working more effectively and efficiently. And that's via the tech drive, digitalization, and improved processes using technology.
And at some point, we need to make sure that Luxembourg remains attractive for young talents, so that we can also feed this process of, I would say, onboarding them and giving them the right expertise for us to be able to serve our clients. So that's really important.
Right, gentlemen, question for you about future trends. Let's try and gaze into our crystal ball here. And what do we believe the future trends will be, Stefan?
Yeah, in terms of governance, I think it will not be possible to separate quality and quantity. So at some point, you will still need to be able to deliver, if you are working on the service provider side, documentation which have high-end standard and in a high-volume fashion.
So you say that will be a naturally limiting factor in a way?
Definitely.
Julian?
I think coming back to the asset servicing world and coming back to one of the terms I mentioned at the very beginning of our discussion, I'll say that, the asset services are more and more thinking about this marketplace approach. When I see the regulatory, the operational and the technical complexity, well, I can't help but feel that this spells the end of the jack-of-all-trades approach that they had. And they need to position themselves really at the heart of the client relationship, a little bit like Amazon, if you want, building this marketplace. And the idea is to find the right partners for them to build upon these new services to support their clients in a, well, more complex world. And that's where I think the trend of outsourcing will come. It's going to be more and more on the added value side and on the expertise. From a tax point of view, from a regulatory point of view, that's really what people will be looking at, especially from an asset servicing aspect.
And Christian?
I think from a trend perspective, I start what will remain maybe, right? I think it still remains a people business, and this human touch is important, and this just sheer expertise, making that available and have a reputable partner, so reputation is important. But I think the trend is something that has already started but will accelerate and become even more prominent is data management technology. So data as a service, system as a service. Clients and service providers collaborate on same systems and sharing data, having live data. I think the efficient collection, production of data, and then having the tools to transform those data to put them into usable reports for multiple stakeholders. The one who masters that best will also be the winner at the end.
Excellent. We're just about at the end of our time now. I'm going to go around each of you and ask you, what is one key takeaway that you would like our listeners to learn from this podcast? Stefan.
Yeah, I would say key takeaway would be, if you do want to manage your risks properly, you really do need to outsource at some point.
Julian.
I think on my side, it's coming back to the strategy, when defined with a clear long-term vision, an outsourcing strategy is really an accelerator for growth.
And Christian.
Here, referring back to the title of this podcast, right? Is it a necessary evil or an opportunity for growth? I would say it's an opportunity for businesses to focus.
An opportunity for businesses to focus. And this has been indeed an excellent opportunity to learn more about outsourcing. Thank you to my three guests today. Thank you to Julian Gonter.
Thank you.
Thank you to Christian Heinen.
Thank you.
And thank you to Stefan Joly-Meunier.
Thank you, Jim.
My name's Jim Kent. This was an Arendt Wheat Live. Thank you.